Politics isn't what you think it is. While experts and pundits present policy as a rational science with clear solutions, reality tells a different story. Why do obvious fixes remain unimplemented? Why do governments adopt contradictory approaches? The answer lies in Deborah Stone's revolutionary insight. Policy isn't a technical puzzle, but a deeply human struggle over values, meanings, and relationships. Policy exists not in the realm of pure rationality, but in what Stone calls the polis, the messy, vibrant community where people cooperate and compete, influenced by relationships rather than isolated self-interest. Here, ambiguity isn't a flaw, but a feature. Metaphors matter as much as metrics, and the most powerful analysis comes from understanding the stories we tell ourselves about who we are as a community. This isn't just academic theory. It's why former President Obama reportedly kept this book on his White House shelf. Forget isolated individuals making rational choices. In the real world of politics, the polis, people exist in webs of relationships, driven by both self-interest and altruism, influenced by others, and working through patterns of cooperation and conflict. The market model of autonomous actors misunderstands political life. Immigration policies aren't technical questions, but fundamental struggles over community boundaries. Arizona's legislation targeting undocumented immigrants wasn't solving an economic equation, but defining belonging. The polis acknowledges altruism as a powerful motive. Humans regularly benefit others through childcare, volunteering, and subverting unjust rules when they believe a higher moral duty exists. Even where control seems absolute, cooperation rivals competition. Prison guards must negotiate with inmates for daily functioning. Military counterinsurgency succeeds not through force alone, but by winning civilian cooperation through services and respect. Political resources follow laws of passion rather than material scarcity. Influence grows stronger with use, collaboration builds commitment, and things in politics can simultaneously hold multiple contradictory meanings. When debating distributions, all sides seek equality, but with different visions of fairness. The paradox? Equality often means inequality, and equal treatment frequently means unequal treatment. Distributing a chocolate cake illustrates this. Equal slices seem fair until considering hunger levels, contributions, or dietary needs. Each vision of equality creates unequal slices, but equality of something else. Merit becomes problematic when defining it. Standardized testing reveals these challenges: cultural biases, advantages for wealthy students with test prep resources, and failure to measure qualities like leadership. Yet merit remains America's primary justification for income inequality, with the top 1% receiving over 1/5 of national income. Everyone supports efficiency in principle, but conflicts emerge over who benefits, how to measure outcomes, and which organizational approach works best. A public library demonstrates this. Stakeholders prioritize different objectives: collections, digital resources, employment, or accessibility. Markets aren't inherently efficient as claimed. True efficiency requires complete information, yet businesses strategically withhold information through exaggerated claims, concealed studies, and hidden contract features. The supposed equality-efficiency trade-off isn't an immutable law, but a political choice. Democratic administrations tend to create more equal income distribution while achieving lower unemployment and higher economic growth than Republican ones. What constitutes need in society extends far beyond mere physical survival. Material possessions carry symbolic meanings. Food represents membership and status, with shared meals signifying friendship. Immigrants adopt local foods to feel included, while religious practices like Ramadan demonstrate how spiritual needs can temporarily outweigh physical ones. Welfare encompasses not just current resources, but future security. Job loss devastates happiness, second only to losing a spouse, and even job insecurity causes significant distress. While 20% of American children live in poverty at any moment, half experience it before turning 18. Humans require relationships, providing friendship, love, dignity, and community belonging, needs that can't be claimed as individual rights. After disasters, victims mourn lost community connections more than possessions, and workers often value workplace dignity above pay. The need to give proves equally powerful. Ghetto residents receiving windfalls typically share money rather than improving their own circumstances. Research confirms relative position matters enormously. People assess well-being by comparing themselves to others, with those in the top income quartile consistently reporting greater happiness regardless of national wealth. "We all declare for liberty," Abraham Lincoln observed, "but in using the same word, we do not mean the same thing. To Northerners, freedom meant enjoying one's labor. To white Southerners, it meant power over others." Liberty's Latin roots suggest release from restraint, while freedom's Indo-European origins emphasize relationships over independence. These distinctions shape American politics. Conservatives typically favor negative liberty, freedom from interference, while liberals prioritize positive liberty, self-determination. John Stuart Mill opposed government interference for one's own good, yet prohibited self-enslavement, raising the question, should we restrict freedom to preserve future choices? Health regulations often follow this reasoning. Cultural diversity presents challenges. Should groups have collective rights? How should governments help minorities preserve their cultures? Muslim women's veils illustrate this tension, with officials claiming oppression, while some wearers view them as enhancing liberty by providing protection from male attention. Is there an inevitable trade-off between liberty and equality? This assumes a negative concept of liberty. From a positive liberty perspective, equalizing resources, like wealth, education, and political rights, enables all citizens greater freedom to choose their life paths. Security is fundamentally a feeling, not just objective reality. While analysts calculate risks mathematically, people imagine personal impacts. Insecurity creates dread and anxiety that cause both psychological and physical harm. Leaders establish security through prevention, mitigation, and reassurance, with reassurance often being most vital. They face a paradox, promising absolute safety while preparing for inevitable disasters. To manage this tension, they employ absolutist language, declare war on threats, and act decisively even with limited evidence. Security measures frequently undermine the very security they aim to create. Airport screening reassures some while alienating others who feel targeted. Border controls provide protection but foster fortress mentalities and prejudice. Prisons reduce immediate crime but increase long-term insecurity by hampering rehabilitation and destroying family structures. When government uses law against its citizens, invading privacy, searching without cause, or denying civil liberties, it compromises democracy's essence and creates profound insecurity. The rule of law itself ultimately secures both democracy and citizen safety. Political science traditionally tries to separate policy from politics through rational analysis, paradoxically viewing politics as an obstacle while attempting to improve governance. Stone's framework acknowledges conflict's darker aspects while recognizing politics as a creative process for social harmony. It challenges objectivity worship, revealing how neutral analytical tools carry biases. Cost-benefit analyses struggle with intangibles like cultural heritage, while analytical categories themselves, poverty definitions, disability classifications, emerge through political discourse rather than pure science. Every policy creates boundaries, defining inclusion and exclusion through eligibility criteria, geographic limits, or temporal restrictions. These boundaries form certain alliances while breaking others, as seen in healthcare pre-existing conditions definitions or targeted environmental regulations. Though messy, political argument compels us to interact, persuade, and transcend self-interest, allowing conflicts through words rather than violence. This creative tension helps societies balance competing interests, transforming policy analysis from a technical exercise into a vital component of democratic discourse.